Hey everybody, welcome to another deep dive. Today we're gonna do things a little differently. We're gonna take a peek into the future, but we're not talking flying cars here.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna talk about the future of procurement. And we've got the perfect guide for this journey.
Oh, yeah.
Gaurav from the Super Negotiate YouTube channel.
You know him?
I've been binging his videos.
He's got some really good insights.
He does, and he lays out a roadmap basically of the KPIs that will matter most in procurement in the years to come.
Yeah.
And this is for everyone, whether you're just starting out in the field or you're a seasoned pro.
Yeah, this is going to be a great deep dive because whether you're new or you're a seasoned pro, everybody needs to understand how procurement is evolving,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
What are those key metrics that are going to matter? The KPIs that'll make a real difference for you, your career, and for your company.
And I love how Gaurav doesn't just, throw out a list of KPIs. He actually contrasts what he calls traditional KPIs with the ones used by top 1% procurement teams.
Yes, he does. And you know what I like about that is he gets into the why behind each KPI,
Yeah.
why it matters, how it connects to the bigger picture of your company's success.
Absolutely. So let's dive right in, shall we? The first KPI up is a familiar one. It's savings. Gaurav makes a great point that even though some CFOs might argue about measuring savings, there's still a fundamental metric in procurement.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the key here is accurate tracking.
Right.
Garv's really big on basing those savings numbers on actual POs, purchase orders, and he's a stickler for separating savings from cost avoidance.
Okay. So why is that separation so important?
Well, because it all comes down to credibility.
Yeah.
When you can demonstrate that your savings are directly tied to those real purchase orders, it shows that you're not just manipulating numbers, you're delivering real tangible value to the organization.
Makes sense. So it's about backing up your claims with hard data.
Exactly. And that's how you gain the trust and respect of the C-suite. They can see that procurement isn't just a cost center. It's a strategic function that directly contributes to the bottom line.
Now, there's another interesting point Goddard brings up. He says top-performing procurement teams, they're using a metric called operating margin improvement.
Yes, and that's where things get really interesting.
That sounds pretty high level.
It is. It's about moving beyond just saving money and looking at how your procurement decisions actually increase the company's profit margin.
So it's not just about cutting costs, it's about making the company more profitable overall.
Exactly. It's a much more strategic way of thinking about procurement, and it's the kind of impact that can really elevate your career.
It's about having a seat at the table when those big decisions are being made.
Precisely.
All right. Let's shift gears a bit and talk about another classic KPI cycle time.
Okay.
We all know it's about how long things take, right? From requisition to purchase order to delivery.
Yep.
But Gaurav argues that speed to market is the real game changer in today's lightning-fast business world.
He's absolutely right. In this day and age, speed is everything. If procurement is a bottleneck, it can cost the company serious money and opportunities.
So how do we speed things up without sacrificing quality or cutting corners?
Well, Garth throws down the gauntlet. He actually gives us some pretty ambitious timelines.
Really?
He suggests aiming for 3 days for RFQs
3 days. Wow.
and 30 to 40 days for RFPs.
That's pretty aggressive. Do you think those timelines are achievable in every industry?
Probably not. Some industries might have more complex requirements or regulations that make those timelines really challenging.
Right.
But the point is that we need to challenge ourselves to be as fast and efficient as possible without compromising quality.
Need to become procurement ninjas.
Exactly. We got to be agile.
Okay, now let's move on to something that's on everyone's mind these days, digitization.
Yeah,
It
digitization.
seems like every company is jumping on that bandwagon.
Right. It's the buzzword of the century.
Exactly. But Gaurav cautions against blindly adopting new tools. Just because something is shiny and new doesn't mean it's the right solution.
Exactly. He believes that true success with digitization lies in data utilization.
So it's not just about having the fanciest software. It's about knowing how to actually use it.
It's about turning that data into actionable insights that drive better decision making.
So we need to be data-driven, not just data collecting.
Exactly. And to do that, we need to identify specific use cases for that data. How can it solve real business problems?
And Gaurav even suggests creating a library of use cases, categorizing them by impact and complexity.
I love that idea. It forces you to think strategically about how data can be used to achieve your procurement goals.
And it helps you prove the value of your digital investments.
Exactly. Imagine going into a meeting and saying, "Hey, we used our spend analysis tool to identify supplier consolidation opportunities, and we saved the company X amount of dollars."
Mic drop moment. Let's talk supplier management. I'm curious to hear Gar's take on this one.
Well, get ready for a bit of a surprise. He says that those classic metrics, on-time delivery and quality, they're just the bare minimum.
Wait, so we're not supposed to care about on-time delivery anymore?
Oh,
no. No, it's still important. But Garv believes that it's just table stakes in today's world. You know, we need to move beyond basic compliance and focus on building truly strategic partnerships with our suppliers.
Okay. So what should we be measuring instead?
He highlights two key metrics. One is the number of cost innovation projects that you're collaborating on with suppliers.
Okay.
And the second is the percentage of contracts that are at risk.
Interesting. So it's about actively working with your suppliers to find innovative ways to cut costs and mitigate risks.
Exactly. It's about moving beyond that transactional buyer-supplier relationship and becoming a true partner in success.
And Gaurav actually gives a great example of this. He talks about working with a supplier to revamp their costing formula.
Oh, yeah. I love that example.
And it ended up being a win-win situation. The supplier benefited from improved efficiency, and the company got a better price.
It's a perfect illustration of how collaboration can drive real value for both parties.
It's about thinking outside the box and looking for those creative solutions.
Exactly. And that's what sets top-performing procurement teams apart. They're not afraid to challenge the status quo and push the boundaries of what's possible.
Okay. So we've talked about savings, cycle time, digitization, supplier management. Let's move on to another key area, spend analysis.
Spend analysis. This is something that a lot of people struggle with.
It can be tricky to get your arms around all that data.
But Garv believes that even basic procurement setups should have a spend analysis KPI.
Okay.
And the main goal of that KPI is to understand what percentage of your spending is actually under management.
Right. Because if you don't know where your money is going, how can you control it?
Exactly. This KPI gives you a clear picture of where you stand and where you can have the biggest impact.
It's about taking control of your spending and making sure you're getting the most value for every dollar.
Precisely. And Garv also mentioned some really helpful sub-KPIs like spend under management, tail spend management, and purchase price variance.
Okay. And what are those all about?
They provide a more granular view of your spending. You know, they're particularly useful for larger organizations that have operations in multiple geographies.
So it's like zooming in on specific areas to identify opportunities for improvement.
Exactly. These sub-KPIs can help you tailor your procurement strategies to different categories of spending and ensure you're getting the best possible outcomes.
All right. Now let's dive into something that can be a bit of a head-scratcher, working capital.
Working capital. This is all about the financial health of your company.
And how procurement can play a big role in managing it.
Exactly. One of the key ways that procurement impacts working capital is through negotiating favorable payment terms with suppliers.
Okay. So if you can negotiate longer payment terms, you're essentially freeing up cash flow for the company to use elsewhere.
Precisely. It's okay. Like getting an interest-free loan from your suppliers.
I like that.
Really?
And Gaurav even mentions this concept of negative working capital, where you actually get paid by your customers before you have to pay your suppliers.
That's the holy grail of working capital management.
The Amazon model.
Yes. It's not easy to achieve, but it's a powerful strategy for maximizing cash flow and efficiency.
Definitely something to aspire to. All right, let's move on to another important aspect of working capital inventory management.
Inventory management. This is where things can get tricky.
Garv brings up a great example. He talks about Nike's over-inventory issues to highlight how crucial it is to monitor inventory days.
It's all about finding that sweet spot between having enough inventory to meet demand and avoiding excess stock that just sits there costing you money.
Right. So how do we strike that balance?
There are several ways to optimize your inventory levels. Garv talks about lean inventory practices, vendor-managed warehouses, and even near-shoring production to get your goods closer to your customers.
It's about being smart and efficient with your inventory.
Exactly. And it's about finding the right mix of strategies for your specific business needs and goals.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive. We talked about saving, cycle time, digitization, supplier management, spend analysis, working capital, and inventory management.
And it's clear that the world of procurement is changing rapidly.
But these KPIs that we've discussed, they offer a roadmap for navigating those changes and becoming a more strategic and valuable asset to your organization.
So stay tuned for part two, where we'll dig even deeper into these KPIs and explore how you can put these insights into action to elevate your procurement game.
We'll be right back after a quick break. All right, so we've covered a ton of ground already in part one. Everything from savings and cycle time to digitization and supplier management.
Yeah, it's clear that the procurement world is changing fast.
It really is. And it's exciting to see how these KPIs, they're evolving. They're becoming even more strategic.
Absolutely.
But I think it's time to get even more practical.
Yeah.
How can our listener, who's probably like, all right, I'm ready to level up my procurement game,
yeah,
how can they put these insights into action?
That's a great question. Let's start with that shift from cycle time to speed to market.
Okay.
Remember, it's not just about measuring how long things take. It's about understanding how those timelines impact the entire business.
So instead of just focusing on hitting internal deadlines, we need to think about how our procurement process affects things like product launches and sales.
Precisely. We need to be in constant communication with other departments, you know, understanding their needs and their priorities and making sure that procurement isn't a bottleneck.
It's like we're part of a relay race.
Yeah.
And we need to make a smooth handoff to the next runner.
I like that analogy. And to make that handoff smooth, we got to be proactive. You know, instead of waiting for someone to tell us when they need something, we should anticipate their needs and start working on it ahead of time.
That makes a lot of sense. So proactive communication is key.
Oh, for sure.
Now let's go back to digitization for a moment.
Okay.
We talked about the importance of data utilization.
Mm.
But how can we avoid that trap of buying fancy software that just ends up gathering dust?
You know, I think Gaurav's suggestion of creating a library of use cases is brilliant.
Yeah.
It forces you to think concretely about how data can solve real business problems.
So instead of just saying, we need a spend analysis tool, we should be saying, we need to identify opportunities for supplier consolidation to save money. And we can use spend data to do that.
Exactly. You're framing it in terms of a specific business need, and the data becomes a tool to achieve that objective. And then once you've implemented that solution, you need to track its impact.
Right.
Did it actually lead to the desired outcome? Did you achieve those savings?
That's how you prove the ROI of your digital investments.
Exactly. And it makes your job more strategic and more impactful.
Absolutely. Speaking of strategic, let's revisit supplier management.
Okay.
Remember how Gaurav challenged us to move beyond basic compliance and build those collaborative partnerships?
Yeah, it's about going from just get me the goods to let's work together to innovate and solve problems.
And you have so much knowledge and expertise on your side. I mean, your suppliers, they're the ones actually making the products or providing the services.
They're the experts.
They are. They often have insights that you wouldn't even think of. Gaurav's example of working with a supplier to revamp their costing formula.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Really stuck with me. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
The supplier benefits from improved efficiency and you get a better price.
And that's just one example. The possibilities for collaboration are endless. Maybe you can work together to develop more sustainable packaging or explore new materials that reduce costs.
It's about tapping into that collective brain power to create something even better than you could have imagined on your own.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about risk management. We touched on some traditional KPIs, but Gaurav also introduced some more contemporary risks, like cybersecurity vulnerabilities.
That's a big one these days. A cyber attack on one of your key suppliers could bring your entire operation to a screeching halt.
Yeah, it's like that domino effect.
Yeah.
One supplier goes down and the whole chain is disrupted. So how can we be more proactive about managing these risks?
It starts with understanding your suppliers better. You know, Gaurav talked about that supply revenue size ratio, which measures how dependent a supplier is on your business. If that ratio is high, it means they're heavily reliant on you, and that can be risky.
Because if something happens to your company, it could have a devastating impact on their business, which could then boomerang back and affect you even more.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important to have a diversified supplier base and to constantly assess the financial health and stability of your key suppliers.
So risk management is becoming much more complex and multifaceted.
It really is. You know, you also need to consider things like geopolitical instability, natural disasters, even reputational risks associated with your suppliers. It's about thinking ahead and having contingency plans in place.
So it's not just about what's happening today, it's about what could happen tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right, let's shift gears to sustainability.
Okay.
We know that Scope 3 emissions, those from your supply chain, are a major focus for procurement. But how can we actually measure and manage those emissions effectively?
Remember Gaurav's point about moving beyond a spend-based approach to sustainability? It's not enough to just ask your suppliers if they're green. You need to get into the nitty-gritty of their emissions data.
So instead of just checking a box, we need to really understand the environmental footprint of our supply chain.
Exactly. And that means collecting data on things like energy consumption, transportation emissions, waste generation from each of your suppliers.
It sounds like a massive data collection effort.
It can be, but there are tools and technologies that can help streamline that process. And the good news is that many suppliers are already tracking this data. So it's just a matter of getting access to it and analyzing it.
And once you have that data, you can start working with your suppliers to identify areas for improvement and set reduction targets.
Exactly. You can use that information to make more informed sourcing decisions. Maybe you choose to work with suppliers who are closer to your production facilities to reduce transportation emissions, or you prioritize suppliers who use renewable energy.
It's about making those conscious choices that add up to a more sustainable supply chain.
Absolutely.
Now let's talk about the key ingredient that ties everything together, upskilling.
Ah, upskilling. This is where the rubber meets the road. You can have all the knowledge and insights in the world, but if you don't have the skills to put them into practice, it's all for nothing.
And Gaurav's a big advocate for spend analysis and negotiation training.
He is.
But he also threw in a bit of a curveball when he mentioned coding skills.
I know, right? It might seem a little unexpected, but think about it as procurement becomes increasingly data-driven. The ability to understand and work with data becomes absolutely essential.
So even basic coding skills can help us make sense of all that data and even automate some of our tasks.
Exactly. It's about empowering yourself to be more than just a data consumer. You can become a data master.
I love that. It's like leveling up your procurement superpower.
Yeah.
But it's not just about technical skills, right?
Absolutely not. We also need to focus on developing our soft skills, things like communication, collaboration, and problem solving. You know, procurement is all about building relationships and influencing people.
So it's about being a well-rounded professional who can not only crunch the numbers, but also build rapport and negotiate effectively.
Exactly. It's about being that strategic thinker who can see the big picture, connect the dots, and drive real value for the organization.
Okay, before we move on to part three, let's quickly recap what we've covered in this segment. We talked about the importance of aligning procurement timelines with the broader business goals,
Yep.
the power of data utilization over blind software adoption, and the evolution of supplier management into a true strategic partnership.
Absolutely.
We also dug into the complexities of modern risk management,
Right.
the need for data-driven sustainability initiatives, and the crucial role of upskilling in both technical and soft skills.
There's a lot to take in.
It is.
Yeah.
But it's clear that the procurement professional of the future needs to be a versatile and adaptable individual who can embrace change and continuously learn and grow.
They need to be a jack of all trades, master of all.
Exactly.
And the world of procurement is evolving rapidly, and those who can keep pace with those changes will be the ones who thrive.
So stay tuned for part three, where we'll wrap up this deep dive with some final thoughts on how you can apply these insights to your own work and stay ahead of the curve in this exciting and dynamic field. And we are back for the final part of our deep dive into the future of procurement with Gaurav from SuperNegotiate.
We've covered so much, haven't we? From those, you know, like classic KPIs like saving money to more kind of like cutting edge concepts,
Yes.
negative working capital.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's really ambitious RFQ timelines. It's clear that procurement is so much more now than just processing purchase orders.
Absolutely. And I think it's incredibly exciting. But I'm sure some of our listeners might be feeling a little overwhelmed right now. Like, okay, I get it, procurement's changing, but how do I actually become that, strategic data savvy sustainability champion that you've been talking about?
It's true. It's a lot to absorb,
Yeah.
and it could feel really overwhelming. But remember, even those top 1% teams that Gaurav talks about, they didn't just magically get there overnight. It's definitely a journey, not a sprint.
So if I'm ready to start that journey, what's my first step?
First, take a breath. And then grab yourself a notebook or, you know, open up a doc on your computer and do a self-assessment. Ask yourself, where are my strengths? What skills do I want to develop? You know, are you already a data whiz who needs to brush up on negotiation tactics?
No.
Or maybe you're a smooth talker who could use some data analysis
I
training.
love that. Know thyself, basically.
Exactly. So then
And get proactive. There are so many resources out there to help you upskill,
online courses, professional organizations, even just, you know, good old-fashioned books and podcasts. You know, think about what really excites you, what skills would make you even more valuable to your company, and then, you know, just start exploring.
Now, something that really clicked for me was Gaurav's emphasis on having a library of use cases for your data.
Yes.
It made data analysis seem so much less intimidating. It's like, oh, I can use this to solve that problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic way to frame it. And you can apply that same thinking to other areas as well. You know, say you want to improve your negotiation skills. Think about a recent negotiation that didn't go as well as you'd hoped. What could you have done differently? Were you prepared enough? Did you really understand their motivations? Use those experiences as learning opportunities.
So it's about being a continuous learner.
Always.
Always looking for ways to improve and refine your approach.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to experiment. Try a new tactic in your next negotiation. See if you can shave a day or two off your next RFQ process. Those little improvements, they add up to big results over time.
So it's like we're all procurement scientists.
Yes.
Testing out hypotheses and seeing what works.
Exactly. Yeah. And remember, you don't have to do this alone. You know, build relationships with your peers, with mentors, even with suppliers. Share your experiences. Learn from each other. Procurement's a community. And we're all in this together.
You know, we focus so much on the technical and strategic aspects of procurement. But at the end of the day, it really is all about people, isn't it?
It really is. The relationships you build, the trust you earn. That's what's going to set you apart and make you a true leader in procurement.
So to wrap things up, what's the one piece of advice you would give our listener who's eager to embrace the future of procurement?
Embrace curiosity. This field is constantly evolving. Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. Ask questions, explore new ideas. Stay curious, stay engaged, and never stop learning.
I love that. And you know, as Gaurav's insights have shown us, the future of procurement is bright, innovative, and full of opportunity for those who are willing to dive in headfirst.
So keep learning, keep growing, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible in procurement.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's all the time we have for today's deep dive into the future of procurement.
It's a good one.
A big thank you to our guest expert, and of course to you, our listeners, for joining us. Until next time, happy procuring.